Today's daf in Masechet Shkalim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yotet, and we're starting the new perek at Halacha Aleph. Says the Elik Mishnah, Ma'ot shenimtzau bein hashkalim l'nedava. So yesterday and the day before, we talked about the various things that were placed, different monies that were placed into a total of 13 different shofarot. And we went through each one of them. And it's important to note that we went through it in order. So in other words, the same way you've got your ATM machines in the bank, some of the machines are for withdrawals, some of the machines are for bill paying, and so on and so forth. So you had basically this entire area of 13 ATMs that you had in the Beis HaMikdash. And our vision of them is like that they were arranged in a row. Now, the problem is that this Mishnah is going to call into question how it is that we imagine them. Because what happens if you find money on the floor between two of these ATMs? Well, now the question is, where was that money really from? Was it somebody who dropped money that he was depositing to the shofar on the right, or was it to the one on the left, and so on and so forth? So how do we decide? So you will recall that the Torah has a very important model for how we make decisions about where something that was found, where did it come from? And that, of course, is the sugya of finding a mugged individual. And that's the din of Egla Rufa. The Torah says to simply analyze which city is closest to the mugging. And that's the city that is going to take responsibility for the mugging. Now, that creates a very important halacha called korov. And it means that we have a right to rely on halacha on proximity. Now, you'll remember that this big machlokas about whether, what if you have, on the one hand, a city with a population of 1,000,000, and on the other hand, a city with a population of 1,000, are you still going to go with the korov, or do we say that's crazy? I mean, it's so much more likely that people were from the larger city. That's a machlokas. That's the question of rov for korov. Is rov adif or korov is adif? Now, our Gemara over here is not going to get into that problem, but as the Mefarshim point out, if you hold that the din of Egla Rufa is only said where the cities are of equal size and that korov is not enough to go against the rov, then this Mishnah is going to also maybe have to be changed depending how much cash is in the various tevot. I don't believe that for a minute, and there's other possibilities for explaining why here it's not nogea, because it's not coming out of, it's coming from the people that are putting in, and many other reasons. But in any event, just keep it in mind because I don't want to oversimplify. So now the Mishnah says, if I find money on the floor, and this money is found between the shofar that is marked shkalim, and the shofar that is marked nidava. All right, so now the first thing that strikes you is that's insane. How could that happen? The shofar that is marked nidava is at the other end, right? The shofar that's marked shkalim is number one, and the other one is number 7 through 13. So how in the world would you find money between number 1 and number 7 or 13? I mean, it doesn't make sense. It would have to be between something else and this somewhere first, right? So that is going to lead the Gemara to say that that's actually the only reason that the Mishnah bothers mentioning this case. It's to tell me that the structure of the placement of the ATMs was not in a row, but it was actually a quite modernistic kind of design, in which they had a circular, or according to one Girsa, a spiral, in which you would walk through, and you would have your options of putting in as you walk through, but it wasn't in a row. It was that you were going to, it's like the modern design of supermarkets. There's no way you're going to get out of this row without looking at the stuff that we put on to sale in this bin at the end of the row. So it's exactly the same thing over here. They arrange it in such a way that you're going to be smacked in the face by these different ATMs, and it's going to make you remember, oh, yes, I have Motorot for this, or I have the Dove, whatever. So that's exactly what happened. So because of the circular or spiral construction, or some say it was two circles, one within the other, so that you would make your way through the circle, and then to the right and the left, you would have, okay, it's very cute, But in any event, whatever it is, obviously that means that the Mishnah is saying that you could have funds that fell between 1 and 13. That's exactly why the Mishnah brings this case. So what if I did have those funds? What would I do? Well, the first rule is you always go according to what's closer, which is what we learn out from the halacha of Eglah Rufa. So if it's Karov Lishkalim, Yiplu Lishkalim. If it's Karov Lenedava, Yiplu Lenedava. How about if it's Mechza Lemechza? How about it's right in between? What do we do? So then you have to go L'chumra. And because of that, it should be Yiplu Lenedava, because the Nedava is Kulai for Oilais. And Oilais are going to go entirely to the Mizbeach. Masha Enkein, if I put it into the Shkolim, oh, heck, anything could happen to it. First of all, it could be used for the Truma Salishka directly, but if it is, then some of it might go to a Chatas, right? If it went to a Chatas, so then Kohanim would be getting some of it, and maybe it's all supposed to be on the Mizbeach, so we want to be Machner. What's even worse is if I would put it into Shkolim, then what if it goes to the Shiore Alishka and it's used for plumbing purposes or something? That would be terrible. So if this is money that was meant to go to Olos, I mean, what are we using it for the plumbing? So because of that, we'll go L'chumra and we'll put it into the Olos. And suppose it falls between the fifth and the sixth shofar, between Eitzim and Levona. Well, again, Karav Leitzim, people are Eitzim, Karav Levona, Yiplu Levona. We always go according to where it's closest. But what about if it's right in between? So then we go to Livona. The Gemara is going to go through the reasoning for each one of these. Suppose we found it between Kinim and Gozlei Ola. Now remember that we had a Machlokas. This would be between the third and fourth shofar. But remember that we had a Machlokas yesterday between Reb Yehuda and the Chachomim about what the halacha is for Kinim. Are Kinim in fact Echad Li'ola ve'Echad L'chatas? Or are Kinim just Torim La'ola? So this Gemara is going Aliba the Tanakama, not like Reb Yehuda, and that the Kinim is Oila Chatas Per, and that the Gozle Oila is entirely Oila. So there are two. If it's Karav L'Kinim, Yiplu L'Kinim. If it's Karav L'Gozle Oila, Yiplu Gozle Oila. What do you do if it's right in the middle? What is more Chomor? What's Chomor is that they should go La'ola, because that goes entirely to the Mizbeach. Now, that raises all kinds of awful questions, because a bird that was meant to be a Chatas that's brought as an Ola is totally possible, because it's being brought in the wrong place on the Mizbeach. It's also going to cause the woman who was supposed to be bringing a Chatas and an Ola, she's not going to be bringing her cane. She thinks that she's Tahora, she's not Tahora. I mean, it's a disaster. You can't just arbitrarily decide where you're going to put it. The Gemara, obviously, will discuss all of those problems. Now, you should know that this is not only something that is true, legabe the Beis HaMikdash and the Nedavot, this is true in general. Suppose in your home, you have like a pushka, that is a pushka of money that is from your Maisa Sheni money that you were paid at, and you put into that pushka, and then you've got another pushka of chulin that you would just set aside to use for whatever you want. So the same thing is true over there. If you find money between these two pushkas, so if it's Karav L'chulin, Yiplu L'chulin, if it's Karav L'maisa Sheni, Yiplu L'maisa Sheni, if it's right in the middle, be Machmir and treat it as Maisa Sheni and be careful to eat it, B'Kedusha, B'Yerushalayim, and so on. Generally, Zaklal. Ochina Chara Karov, even L'hakel. So you can rely on Karov 100%. If it's Mechza L'mechza, then and only then you get into the problem of what you should do, and therefore you have to go to Chumra. Wait, shouldn't the Mishnah have said between Shkolim and Kinim? How in the world did we get between the shofar number 1 and shofar number 13? I mean, if you wanted to say something, you should have said between shofar number 2 and shofar number 3. I mean, that would be between the Shkolim and the Kinim. Says Rabbi Avon, b'shem Rabbi Pinchas, k'min buchaliyar hayu osuyin. You remember the buchaliyar from Shabbat was the name of this really large necklace that comes in almost in a circle that you wear a pendant. So it means it was shaped like that. So you got in through the top of the buchaliyar, obviously, and then you were in the ATM area and you chose it. But that would mean that you would be able to get money that would be found at the end of the buchaliyar on either end. You would get money between numbers 1 and 13. And that's why, that's goof of the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah wants to bring out to you when you read it, what? You say, what is that supposed to mean? And that forces you instantly to realize that it must have been shaped like a buchaliar. There's other interesting, there's many, many other girsos, because buchaliar is not like a common word, certainly not in Yerushalmi. So in any event, as I said, some of the words that are used are meant to be snails. Interestingly, so that would mean it's in a spiral in which you have like one level of the snail shell fitting into the other level of the snail shell, which is a very interesting design, which will allow Alon Shelanu, the designer, to show us what it would have looked like in the Beis Hamikdash. But anyway, the idea is clear. So then it says Mechtza leMechtza, Yiplu leNedava. Skip the next piece because it really doesn't make sense. The Gro takes out those words Lo Tzurcha deLo Mechtza Mechtza Yiplu leShkol. I mean, it's simple because why should it? So he simply explains.
Last time you'll be overloaded and
did read it. Yeah, okay, fine. There's no reason not to do it. I mean, it's not particularly terrible. So shouldn't the Mishnah have said that maybe they should fall into Shkolim because there's other chumras in Shkolim because you use it to buy chiyuvim, and over here it's just nedaveis. Okay, so Istabai Meimar Shema Yiplu Lishiori Halishka. So some, Taina, that you can't put it into Shkolim because you never know what the Shkolim are going to be used for, and it might end up being used for the Shiore Halishka, in which case I'll use it for fixing walls and toilets. I mean, not toilets, but drainage. I mean, that's crazy. What if it was meant to be a carbon? So I don't want to put it in there. And Easter Boy Mamer, but there's some who say a very interesting logic to this, that if you find a coin that is between the Shkolim and something else, basically, since you're never going to be able to know whose shekel this is, for all intents and purpose, it's the equivalent of an ownerless shekel. An ownerless shekel would be the idea of somebody who donated a shekel and then he died before we had a chance to put a shekel in. So what would we do with it? So as Rabbi Yose explains, that while I was in, before I came there to Israel, while I was still in Bavel, so I heard, we found this a few times, that he apparently used to listen in when Reb Yehuda spoke to Shmuel when he was back in Bavel. So I heard the voice of Reb Yehuda asking Shmuel, what would be the din if someone was mafresh a shekel and he died? And Shmuel said to him, it should go into the nedaveh. So if that's the case, the same thing would be true over here. We would put it into nedaveh. Okay, so that could be, since the Sfara over there was, we spoke about this earlier, the Sfara over there was that since the shekel can be used for buying chataot, so the halacha is that anything that contains some aspect of moser chatas is yiplul nedava. Therefore, Shmuel held this is the equivalent of moser chatas, put it into nedavas. Okay, so there'll be two possibilities why we would put the doubtful coin into specifically nedavas. We have a similar idea about the Moser of the Kohen Gadol's Asiris HaEfa. So remember, we discussed this before, because the Torah uses the Loshon Ve'et Chatato, the Gemara Darshins, the Menachas, that the Asiris HaEfa of the Kohen Gadol, which is the Minchas Chavitim, is called a Chatas, because it's the same Asiris HaEfa of Minchas Chayte. So we call it a Chatas. So because of that, Rabbi Yochanan held that it would be the same din as the equivalent of a chatos amesos. And you couldn't use it for anything else. You'd have to put it into the Yamamelach. Whereas Rabbi Lozer said, no, even maybe called a chatas, but it doesn't get the dinim of chatas. And because of that, we should look at it only as motarot. And because of that, put it into the nedavot. Okay, next part of the Mishnah says, if it falls between kinim and gozlei oilos, and we're going according to the shita that holds that kinim are echad chatas v'echad liyayla, so then, if you're not sure which was, put it into the oila. How is that possible? What if it isn't an oila? What if it's a chatas? If you put the chatas money into the oila, so it's totally puzzle, because like that's one of the big discussions in Zvachim. If you put a bird that is meant to be a chatas, and you put it on the mizbeach, where it's meant to be an oila, meaning on top of the mizbeach, it's automatically puzzle. Forget about all the other shinuyim that you've made in it. So how are you allowed to do that? You can't take money for a chatas and bring it as an oila. You're going to be bringing psul on the mizbeach. Says Chizkia b'shem Reish Lakish, and note that in the Maseres HaShas, he puts in the word Rebbe. See? Rebbe Chizkia. Why is he putting the word Rebbe Chizkia? For a very simple reason. Chizkia was a door before Reish Lakish was born, so very unlikely that he's quoting Reish Lakish. Rebbe Chizkia, on the other hand, somebody else. Okay, so maybe he's quoting Reish Lakish. Anyway. So he says, obviously, we'll have to say that this is another example of Lev Beis Din Masnalia. And therefore, Tznai Beis Din, Ala Motarot, Shigravu Alot. In the event that we end up with even Motar Chatas, we view this as the equivalent of Motar Chatas, and we look at it as if it was given Lechatchila for the Oila. Says the Gemara, okay, fine. But meanwhile, you're causing an absolute catastrophe. Because what happens to this woman? This is why Naftali's finally, he is a lot of concern for the employees. It's all very nice to figure a way out for the accounting department. What do you do about the poor Isha who ends up having her coin dropped somewhere and thrown into the wrong box? So now it's going to be brought because of Leif Bezden, Masas, and Ayla, but where are her karbonas going to be brought? Where is her chatas going to be brought? So that's the question. Because remember, we had another deal. One of the things that Bezden was koveya with the suppliers. Actually, we're going to see later on, it's a question of whether it's with suppliers or whether it's a Leif Bezden Masna on some of the money, other monies available. But this apparently is going according to Mandi Omar, that it goes according to the supplier, which is the Misapek, that the supplier has to resupply. Remember, we talked about before, if something becomes pusle, you know, if it becomes wormy or whatever it is, the machlok is about whether we even pay the suppliers until the Mizbeach is happy. So one of the deal about the suppliers is that in the same way, if you got something that was puzzled, they have to resupply it on their bill. The same thing would be true if something turned out to be puzzled. It's over here, maybe it's probably, we don't know. So we weren't able to put it back into the Kenyan box. So they're going to have to replace that and be Mizaka, this woman, with that. So they'll ask somebody to take this for whoever lost that money in the event that it was meant for a cane for them. And here is a replacement. Now, why did the Mishnah, like Dafka, take the cases that it took? I mean, how come we left out a lot of stuff? I mean, we could have had something between the Ola and the Eitzim, let's say, right? We didn't say anything about that. I mean, it's the same. It's basically the same kind of case, so we should have done that also between 4 and 5. How can we leave out between 4 and 5? Or how about between Zohav and the money that's for the Kaporot? Remember, we had two different Lashonis over there. What's Kaporot? Meaning it's for gold tiles. If it's Kaporot, like Rashi says, Kippurei Zahav. But anyway, so why not have something between 4 and 5 or between 6 and 7? Like, why do we just leave it out? Says the Gemara, no. The Mishnah is not coming to teach everything. The Mishnah is coming to teach a klal, right? It says at the end of the Mishnah, Tanita Besof, Zah klal, Ochina Chara Karov, and if it's Merzel Merza, then you're going to have to go Lahachmer. So basically, the only cases that we mention in the Mishnah are cases that are absolutely essential to tell me some very important new halacha. So the opening case, it's obvious what that's for. That's to tell me that it was a circle and that it was not in a straight line. So I learned that out directly from there. The question of what between Eitzim and Levena, that's very important because that comes to tell me that even though we said before that Korban HaEitzim is the name of a Korban, but if you're talking about whether you're going to give something as a Korban for that which essentially is used for other Korbanos, because most of the Eitzim is there for fuel, and Lavona, put it into the Lavona. That's a Chiddush. The idea that there's a Kinim and goes Le'ayla is coming to tell me this deal that we just worked out now, that you should know that we're going to make it possible for this woman to get a Kapora and so on and so forth. So in order to be able to deal with those issues, the Mishnah wanted to list that case. And then the last case, which is the issue of the Chulin and the Maaser Sheni, that obviously the Mishnah wanted to list so that you shouldn't think that this Halach of Karav and so on is specifically a din in Kadesh. And it has nothing to do with Kadesh. It's a general Halacha. So, but the Mishnah is certainly not there to tell you every possibility. Use your brains. And that was the end of the Mishnah. that told me Zakla. This brings us to Halacha Beis and another word from our Amar Kol.
Rebbe, I'm sorry. Could Rebbe discuss that word Batashia six lines up from where we are? Rebbe said all to the Machlokis and how it relates, but I didn't understand what the Batashia was.
What? The Kasha Yeshkat the Skreva Oila? Yeah, that's that. Yeah, that's the way the Yerushalmi does it. What? The Kasha means, huh? What? It's just it's like a colloquialism in the Yerushalmi. Yeah, sorry. Okay, go for it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. May the schus of Amar Kol give shonim rabbis to you. Now we get to questions of sort of broader, not that close to the various shofarot, but people drop money all the time. So now we're going to talk about money that we find in various locations and how that money may be defined by when it was found also. So now, if you are in front of a counter where they're selling actual animals, you can buy animals there for bringing to the Beis HaMikdash. If you find money in front of Sochare Behima, of course, this is referring specifically to Yerushalayim, then all year round, you can assume that that money is Maaser Sheni. Now, let's think about that, why that is true. Because there's nothing that you can do with your money, Maaser Sheni. You, wherever you're living, you've been collecting money from Maaser Sheni all year. You haven't had a chance to bring this stuff up to Yerushalayim. You're loaded down with thousands of dollars worth, hopefully, if you're doing well, of Maaser Sheni money, and waiting till you get to Yerushalayim to be able to use that money, okay? We all know what it feels like having money that can't be used for any other purpose except one. So it's the first time that, okay, fine, whatever it costs, you know, I got nothing else to do with this cash, so I'll just use it. So basically, people would bring up all of that money to Yerushalayim to pay for their entire vacation during the Yontif and so on. There was a lot of cash that was available. And what's more, is that that money, even after they needed to go home, they're certainly not going to schlep that money back with them now to have, again, like wait until the next year and then the next Yontif that they go up. Basically, this money they want to get rid of. How did they get rid of it? So they get rid of it mostly, I mean, of course, it can only be by buying food. But, I mean, how much food, for God's sake, can you eat? What you want to do in Yerushalayim is the main food that you want to do is you want to eat the meat of Karban Shlamim, because that way you're using your Maaser Sheni money up. You're using it for the bringing of Karbanos and this fantastic opportunity that you have here in Yerushalayim. And now, okay, now you've got, let's say, a few thousand dollars left. What are you going to do with it? You're not going to take it back home. So what you do with it is basically, you leave it with friends and so on for, you know, you use it. It's thank you very much for allowing us to stay with you, whatever. And this money just ends up staying in Yerushalayim, which means that most of the loose cash that people have is used for foodstuffs and out of that foodstuffs for buying behemoths. And therefore, if you find that money in front of an animal dealer, then the assumption is all year round it's from mice. Maaser Sheni that people have just come up with, or maybe they left here from Yontif, but that's by the overwhelming majority of money used for that purpose. Now, if, however, you find money in the Har Habayit, so now the Har Habayit is a whole different idea. Because over there, basically, even though we said that people are certainly going to bring up their Maaser Sheni, that's true in Yerushalayim. However, the money that we find there is absolutely no basis for us to assume it's Maaser Sheni. Remember that you do not go to the Har Habayis wearing money belts and so on and so forth. And there's no reason for us to assume that any money that's here was lost today. money in Yerushalayim that's found, yes, we have to assume that it is recent money. Why is that? Because the Shukei Yerushalayim, as the Gemara says, were washed down every day. And therefore, any money that would have been dropped yesterday is not there today, which means that you need to consider, okay, what is today in terms of the money that people would have in Yerushalayim? But in the Har HaBayit was not washed down for a very simple reason. People were not allowed to walk there with dust on their feet, with shoes and so on and so forth. So because of that, it remained clean. They would wash off before going there. And anything that would land there, any dust that would be there, remember, was open to the wind, and it was on an incline. So anything that was there would just be blown away anyway. There was no need to do the washdown that you did in the Shvakei Yerushalayim. Okay. So because of that, what we're looking at, money in the Har HaBayit, we're looking at overall, money came from somewhere in the world. Why in the world would it necessarily be Meisr Sheni? I mean, people come here, there's thousands and thousands of tourists that come there every single day. Who knows? It could be some people from India drop the money. I mean, we have absolutely no idea. So because of that, that money is chulin. Now, if you found money in Yerushalayim, so then it depends when, because as I said, the money in Yerushalayim is only from today. So during the year overall, fine. So it's chulin money. I mean, most money over the year is chulin. If it's during the time when people are all coming up here, b'shas haregel, and everybody's got their Meisr Sheni money with them, and they're going around, and everything that they buy is from Meisr Sheni money, at least any food, so then you can assume that today's money is hakol ma'aser. Now let's talk about meat. You find meat in the Azara itself. You don't know what it is. So now, if they are evarim, so evarim, large slabs of meat, remember, that have not been butchered, they're just like cut into the big pieces that are usable on the Mizbeach, those things are probably olos, because they were not butchered other than the way an ola would be butchered. If, let's say, it's cut into steaks, all right, so then you have to assume that they are korban chatas, because that it was going to be eaten by kohanim. Now, we'll see, you can't eat any of this. That's for sure, because you have no idea of how long it's been here. So it might be nosar. And then there's another serious problem. The very fact that you don't know what it is means that there's hesach hadas. And remember that hesach hadas might be a fundamental psul unrelated to tumah. We had a big machlokas. Is hesach hadas a ipso facto psul? Has nothing to do with whether it might have been tameh or not? Or is it only because since nobody was watching it properly, maybe it was exposed to tumah? Fine. Now we're going to be getting into that in a moment. But you've got a number of problems over here. You cannot identify, even if you're sure it's an oila, or you're sure it is a chatas. That doesn't mean it's a kosher oila, or it's a kosher chatas, because you have no idea. As I said, two possible reasons at least. And if you find meat in Yerushalayim, so then it is undoubtedly Basar Shalomim, and that would be no matter how, because Basar Shalomim also, I mean, I might have it cut into steaks, but I might also be, you know, putting it on a large barbecue. But it doesn't matter what it is, because you can't eat it. So Zevizetu Ubar Tzurato V'yetzele Beit HaSreifa. What does matter, of course, is when is it considered to be to Ubar Tzurato? Because if it's Shalomim, remember, to Ubar Tzurato, at least according to the way Rashi understands it, is just another way of saying make it pasul denosa. There was, we spoke about this in other places. Of course, there was a Rabbeinu Hanan who says to Ubar Tzurato means the moment it no longer looks fresh. So at that point, it becomes pasul, even if it is a technically nosa. Okay, but we've always taken Rashi's approach to this. It's just a synonym for nosa. So then that would mean that the shlomim, in order to be sure, you see, you got a problem. You can't burn it because maybe it's kosher. You can't eat it because maybe it's nosa. So what are you going to do with it? So you have to wait until you know for sure you're allowed to burn it. But if it's a shlomim, you only know for sure you're allowed to burn it on the second day's morning, right? Because in case you just fell now, shlomim are eaten for 2 days. So therefore, you'd have to wait an extra day to make sure you could burn it. If it's kachikachim, so then, okay, so then you can burn it after the first morning. So we need to know what it is. But in any event, you have to wait till it's Tubar Tzurato, and then you take it out to the Beit HaSreifa. If it's found outside of Yerushalayim, so then if they're big Eivarim, then it's assumed to be Nevelos. Why'd somebody drop a big Eivar? I mean, if it's Chatichot, I understand. So they were in the supermarket, and they had bought steak and whatever, and they dropped the package. I understand. So that would be assumed to be mutter. Now, when we say it's assumed to be mutter, obviously, we've got to deal with the question of whether it's kosher, are there non-kosher stores, is it poser shenis alim and ayin. There's a lot of different machlokas and about what lemaisa we'd be able to do. And we're going to be getting into tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, into issues of poser shenis alim and ayin and other questions, but that's not what we're interested in determining over here. Here we want to know if it's a nevela, is it metame, and so on. Bishas haregel, where there's tons of meat, and over there, people will definitely make large barbecues without cutting them into steaks. So in that case, even Evarim would be mutarot because, I mean, what's the chance that something is a nevela? So if there's nothing specific making you be choshesh that it's a nevela, you don't have to worry it's a nevela. The only time we worry something is a nevela is something looks phony, fishy. So if it's a big piece, usually it looks fishy. But not during a time where people are making a lot of, you know, barbecues and so on. Certainly in Naftali's backyard, you'd never occur to you for a moment that it was an avela, right? I mean, I would just be looking forward to a piece of nice, deeply red, delicious, fresh meat, anything but an avela. So, says the Gemara, I mean, shouldn't we have said that things on the Har HaBayis are like Kodesh? I mean, why would people assume that on the Har HaBayis? I mean, isn't there like a standard scenario? I mean, you had all of these shofarot, right? You've got these gizborim. The gizborim are going to be running around with money of Hegdesh. They got to be running to suppliers of behemoths. I mean, money fell. I mean, it's probably from money that had to do with the Beis HaMikdash. It's weird, isn't it, to say in Yerushalayim, like it's Kodesh, but in the Har HaBayis, it's Chulin? I don't quite understand. Says Rabbi Bon, Rabbi Chiya, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, no. They were very careful, actually, not to take most of Hegdesh in a way that it could possibly fall on the Har HaBayis and be machshel people with Me'ilah and so on and so forth. So there's a chazaka that the Kohen who's going to be using money from the Lishka, he will not allow that money to come out before it's mechulal on the behemah. So in other words, he will make the deal first with the supplier, be mechal of the money on the behemoths that the supplier sets aside for the Kedusha, and then bring the money out. But by that point, it's Moses of Chulin, and it's not Moses of Kodesh. So that's what we're relying. Now, the Basar Shenimtza, then we said, if you find it in the actual Azara, so then if it's big pieces, it's Eilis. If it's steaks, it's probably Chatos. If it's in Yerushalayim, it's Shlamim. Anyway, you're not allowed to eat it because you need to be to Ubar Tzurasa. Now, here is where we get to the other question. And that is, as Rebbe Lozer points out, in the name of Rebbe Oshaya, this is a problem of Hesach Hadas. If it's a din in Hesach Hadas, then it's possible immediately, no? Now, not necessarily. It ain't necessarily so. And why is that? Because we have a machlokas about whether Hesach Hadas is actual apsul, which is called apsul begufo, or is it a psul of tuma? We've had this machlokas numerous times. If it's a psul of tuma, then it's not instantly allowing you to burn it because all that it did was create a suffix for you, but it does not create a vadai. And therefore, you're still going to have to wait until it becomes psul in order to burn it for sure. But if it's an innate psul, so it's called a psul begufa, now we should be allowed to burn it right away. And therefore, we would not need to wait until it's to Ubar Tzurato. So apparently, over here, you see from here that if you're Mesiach Das, you still need Ibar Tzura, says Rebbe Lozer. So then that means that the Mishnah is giving us a definitive statement about how to view the problem of Hesach Das. Because if Hesach Das was an issue in an actual soul of the carbon, why does it say in the mission you must wait till it's to Ubar Tzurato? Seems to me, says Rabbi Lozer, that this settles the issue. Amar Rav Oshaya, yeah, heck. I mean, how do you read the mission any other way? Matnita Amra Kein. I mean, for all intents and purposes, this is what the mission is saying. It's saying to Ubar Tzurato v'yetzel b'et ha-sreifa. Rabbi Yossi says, I mean, look, basically, now there's two different. Well, the Pashtus is the Rabbi Yossi is just giving a separate definition of like what's going on in the Mishnah. But there is another approach that the Korban Eidah uses, which I'll explain in a moment, which personally I think is more likely. Not that Rabbi Yossi is just giving a general explanation. So let's first take the simple way of reading it. So Rabbi Yossi says, absolutely, V'yos, look, the Mishnah makes like a lot of sense. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't eat it, can you? I mean, lo'achlo inat yachol. Shamanit kalkel tzurato. Maybe it is noser. So you can't eat it, okay? You certainly can't, you can't burn it because maybe it's kosher. So lefum kain, tzarech meimar tu bar tzurato, v'yetzil abet hasrifa. So you've got no choice. You're going to have to wait. So now, Rabbi Yossi doesn't mention the issue of Hesach Hadas, which Bepashtus means that he's not addressing what it was that Rabbi Lozer just brought as an absolute proof, right? But the way the Korban Eidah is learning it, that's not the point. Rabbi Yossi is coming to tell me that what it is that Rav Hoshaya says, yo, absolutely, it's got to mean this in terms of the Mishnah, it's not true. Because let's even imagine, this is a chop that the Korban Eidah came up with. Let us even imagine that the idea of Hesach Hadas is an etzem psul, okay? But what is the reason for the psul? I understand the Rabbanan made a special gezera of Malin B'Kedesh. One of the milos of Kedesh that we list in Chagiga is the din of Hesach Hadas. But it isn't based on nothing. It's based on the fact that since there are so many things that can pasul Kedesh, we want to make a takana that the moment that you stop thinking about it and concentrating on it, poof, it's no good anymore. But that's only because there has to be something that might happen to it. If it's in the Beis HaMikdash, what can happen to it? We don't have anything tame that's there. All of the things that it could possibly come in touch with are prepared for dealing with kachim. So therefore, what Rabbi Yossi is trying to say is, V'yos, the things that we need to deal with in the Mishnah can effectively ignore the Hesach Hadas. That's what Rabbi Yossi is saying is. Forget, throw out Hesach Hadas, says Rabbi Yossi. Does the Mishnah make sense purely in terms of the single issue that we need to worry about? Is it or is it not noser? Yes. Then that's it. The Mishnah makes sense without coming on to Hesach Hadas at all. Okay, this is a very interesting chiddush, that even if it's a psul in a guf, it has to come from a situation where it might be exposed to something. One of the ways that we explained the psul aguf in the past, if you recall, is that the nature of the relationship of tumah to kachim is expressed in the relationship of the pasuk of v'hayamunus yitzecha chosin yishuas chokhmas v'das. And chokhmas, which is kachim, is defined by the way that you relate to those kachim in terms of das, which is seder tyrus. Therefore, hesach das is a completely new level of tumah that has nothing to do with being exposed to a particular thing that's metameyu. It's the loss of consciousness, which is tumah. That's the way we understood it. And that is true, by the way, in so many levels. If you wake up in the morning, you wash your hands because of non-consciousness, and therefore you're like dead. And that death itself is tumah. So a chisaron of das, which of course takes us all the way back to the Eitz HaDas and to the elements of the gezerah of Misa and so on, that it makes a great deal of sense not to connect it the way the Korban Eidah does, but it's still a really nice chop because it makes much more sense of what the Gemara is saying. Okay, anyway, consider it. It's a very fascinating thing. Okay, then we said if it's nimtza bigvulin, so then it depends whether it's cut up as steaks. You know, if it's cut up as steaks, it's okay. So Reb Krisva, b'shem Reb Yosi, Reb Chanina, he says when the Mishnah says that it's a nevela, it doesn't mean it's a chashash of a nevela. It means it's 100% a nevela, and you can bank on this to the point of giving the guy malchus if he eats it. You could give him a hasra for eating a nevela. And when it says Evarim Nevelot, it means Lokin Alei Mishum Nevelot. And you can see this from the Mishnah. Doesn't the Mishnah say that Evarim are Nevelot, Echatichot are Mutarot? So when it says that the steaks are okay, what do you think that means? They're okay, but don't eat them? Obviously, that's not what it means. It means they're okay, meaning they're okay to eat. So then that means that the Mishnah is dealing with the absolute status, not with the chashash status. So the Mishnah is telling you that the steaks are kosher and the rest is nevela. It's on the same level. if the steaks are kosher, you can put them in your oven, then the kavaseh varm nevela, so you'll be loka mishum nevela. That's the level that the Mishnah is talking about. There's another thing that Rav Krispa says, b'shem Rav Yossi b'Rav Chanina, and that is, in the event that you find even a varim, which, depending, I mean, we had a couple cases of a varim, either in the Beis HaMikdash or outside, if they're tied together as a machrosot, remember that sometimes we hang meat, and like you do with hot dogs or salamis and so on. So if they're strung in one machrozet, then they're definitely not nevelas. Nobody strings nevelas. It's only because you're throwing them out that they look like that. And that brings us to the question of what is the status in the town in terms of the amount of meat that is kosher versus the amount of meat that's not kosher. So that we need to take that into consideration, obviously. So suppose we have nine, this is the classic nine plus one store. So if you've got nine stores that are selling non-kosher meat, one store that is selling kosher meat. A guy went into a store, he does not know which store he bought it from. So over there, he has to be choshesh, but choshesh means it has a din of mechza al mechza. Why? Because it's kavua. And if it's kavua, it doesn't matter how much non-kosher meat there are. It only matters the fact that there is a store that is selling kosher or a store that is selling non-kosher. That puts it into a position of mechza al mechza. For all intents and purposes, that's all you got to worry about. If, however, you find a piece of meat lying in the street, which is what we're talking about, so you find a piece of meat lying in the street, then you go according to the rove of the stores. Since most of them sell nevela, in this case, you have to assume it would be an avela. I don't care what it looks like in terms of steaks or anything else. Now, in the other case where you've got nine stores that are selling kosher meat and one store that's selling non-kosher meat, then again, if you don't know which store you bought it in, the schalfalo, so then choshesh, you still can't eat it because it's 50-50. But if you find a piece of meat in the street, now that's where we get into the Mishnah we're talking over here. If you find a piece of meat in the street, there you can actually eat it. And as Rabbi Yochanan points out, if you find a piece of meat, meaning you've got a goy, you know, and he's got a piece of meat, he wants to tell you, I got a piece of meat. Would you like a piece of meat? So then buying it from that goy is like finding it in the street, because the din of mechza al mechza is defined by the implications of the suffix for you. So since you walked into the store, it is your mind that is in that moment engaged in the superposition of mechza al mechza. A goy's consciousness is not engaged in superposition because it is meaningless to him, that question. So for all intents and purposes, it's no different to him whether he bought it in a store or he found it in the street, because he's not dealing with the problem at all that we need to deal with. So therefore, it would be exactly the same as following it in the street. Now, Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Chagai was walking along holding up Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Mana was old, and he was masmech Rabbi Mana. And he's passing by this barn, and he sees this goy who is cutting up a dead horse, and he's throwing the meat outside. So he says to Rabbi Mana, oh, God help us. Is this what Rabbi Yochanan was saying, that if you find it in the hands of a goy, you can assume it's kosher meat? I mean, yeah, you can assume it's kosher meat like the horse meat in Muncie. I mean, come on. This is not kosher meat. So how could he have said such a thing? Nimtzu b'yad nochrik and nimtzu b'platya. Or Marley. Now, I could tell you, Rabbi Yochanan says to my Rebbe, kach amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi, my Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi, explained that when Rabbi Yochanan said that, he said, Rabbi Yochanan was only matirit when you saw the goy coming out of the shuk, where all of the meat stores are. Not that, you know, he happens to have meat. Obviously, he could have just taken a dead animal in his yard and cut it up. That's not where, that we need to know that he found that meat in the place where the meat is available. That's all he was saying. And we have one more maisa. This was a maisa that we had in Chulin. Achad Barnash Betziporin. So this guy in Tzipora, he wanted to go and buy a piece of meat. This guy, this butcher, hates his guts. And he refuses to sell to him. I don't sell to people like you. So he goes over to this guy, who was a Roman, and he says, listen, Christopher, do me a favor, will you? Go in there and buy me a steak. Don't tell him it's for me. He gives him the money. The guy goes in, buys him a steak, and brings it to him. So then the guy walks in to the butcher store and says, ha, 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 ha. See, I got my steak. So the guy says, and the butcher says to him, oh, yeah, enjoy, my friend. That was the novella. I saw this Roman walk in, and I sold him the novella that I had. I hope you enjoy it. I got good money for it. Hope it was your money. So, Omerle, lav bus and avele avidle. Things haven't changed much, let me tell you. Anyway, so Rabbi Yirmiya, b'shem Rabbi Chanina, says that they came and asked Rabbi, so what's the halacha? And Rabbi said, look, the din is that unless we have an announcement made by Beis Din that was nafal nevela or nafal busser to the b'nei chela in the shuk, that you have a right to buy, and there's a chazaka that there is no busser nevela that is being sold. And this guy, Lav Kol Kamine, Lameser Makula de Tziporin, this guy cannot, we did not have such an announcement. This guy's craziness, we don't take it seriously. There's another sheet on the Gemara over there that says there's no reason to take these kinds of personal interactions where the guy would just be saying a thing like that, you know, out of one-upmanship. There's no reason to take that as a edus that there was any kind of isser that was around.